So today is September the 12th, 2018. 17 years ago in one day, the United States of America changed forever. September 11th, 2001. 17 years ago, obviously everybody was remembering it yesterday. A lot of people were asking, where were you, which we're going to talk about here. A lot of people became extra patriotic. I'm not saying they didn't, you know, it didn't touch them.
You mean after the 9/11?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, after 9/11.
You mean immediately after?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't buy American
flag. I think the
flag.
Voluntary enrollment in military was like way, way up. Like everybody's like, oh, I got to do something about this.
Yeah.
You got to get in the military.
You couldn't find an American flag at any store anywhere.
Yeah. Well, are you okay with that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. But it's kind of died off. Anyways, we want to talk about that. I want to talk about some of the crazy weather we got going on right now. I want to talk about a little bit about that juxtaposition of the Nike ad and Kaepernick with September 11th and those people. And then obviously we've got a couple other things to touch on. So episode 18.
Yeah.
To Donis.
Who is this?
Taking a
who
dump,
are we?
Thinking about shit.
Right on. That's it. Bourbon drinking.
Cheers.
Problem solving. Issue solving.
All of it.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Just bring it. Just give us the.
So
give it to us. We'll figure it out. Okay. Let's talk about September 12th. It was yesterday.
September 12th today. September 11th.
Yes, sir.
Where were you?
So I was in between jobs. I was waiting tables. And I was. What was I? Okay. I was.
Is that code for drunk somewhere?
No. The week that happened. The week before, I started training as a waiter at Saltgrass, and I hurt my eye. I had a scratch on my cornea.
That sounds fun.
And I couldn't wear contacts, and my glasses were broken, and it was really painful. So I was like, hey, I'm just going to take a couple days off. And it was over that. I was sitting at home at my parents' house. And I remember, obviously, I didn't see the first plane hit. Nobody saw that because, you didn't see that. But everybody saw that a plane hit a tower, and then the news was watching that. And then I remember seeing the second plane hit, and I was like,
sure.
Ooh, that's not good. And that's kind of, I think that's when most people realized that this was not an accident. This was not
sure.
Somebody who accidentally flew into there. But yeah, I was at home and I was watching TV and, man, that's probably the earliest that, you know, that I like tuned into the news like all day, all night. Cause I had to hear everything about it, which I'm sure everybody else did too. But that's the earliest recollection of like, that kind of behavior, which I exhibit now all the time.
I was a young Lance Corporal of Marines on Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. I was a dispatcher, 3rd platoon. We were working days. So we had just
it happened, what, like in the morning, right?
Yeah, we had just come on shift. And typically in the morning, you only had a couple civilian dispatchers and their supervisor. You had myself, the desk sergeant, and that was it. There's about 5 of us in the room. And we were sitting in there, and normally when it was that early after shift change, but like we would go over there before shift change even really happened. We were the ones who signaled shift change. We're sitting there as everybody's doing their radio checks. We're watching Chips, California Highway Patrol, good old Ponch and John on the TV. And we're just hanging out. We're waiting for the day really to get kicked off. And I remember specifically one of the ladies, civilian dispatcher, a lady named Cheryl. She worked for EMS for her whole life as a dispatcher. And she said, today's National 911 Day. I was like, yeah, I don't know what that means. She said, well, what'll happen typically on September 11th? People will call 911 just to say thank you. So I was like, okay. So she said, expect a higher than normal influx of calls, but it's not necessarily going to be,
Now, were you answering calls or are you?
Oh, no, absolutely. I was a dispatcher I was a military police dispatcher, but I also, so I answered, we had a 611 line, which was the base emergency line. So any landline phone on base, you dial that instead of 911 and it would come straight to me.
Got it.
Because if you dial 911, you could actually get either the civilians or me.
Got it.
There was a couple of 611, like 3 611 lines. There was like 6 911 lines. And then there was actual normal administrative dial-in lines, probably another 6 or so.
Okay.
So I had about 15 phone lines that you're answering all day.
It's not a responsibility.
15 different radio channels on a couple different frequencies to monitor.
All by yourself?
Yeah, I had a desk sergeant behind me. He would listen in and kind of help, but I mean, the dispatching was all on me, which was awesome, dude.
So
I'd only been there at Lejeune, by the way, since June, July.
Okay, so a few months.
Yeah, I've been there
still
like 4 months. I hadn't hit a year yet. My year in the Marine Corps was September 18th.
Okay.
So I was 1 week short of a year. I was a Lance Corporal, and we're watching Chips. And then on one of the back channels on the 5, one of the patrol supervisors, Harlan Shield, calls over. And he asked if we were watching the news. And I looked at my desk sergeant. He said, just tell him. I said, negative, we're watching Chips. He's like, put it on CNN. They're saying something about a plane hitting a World Trade Center. We turn it on. Mm-hmm. 10 seconds later, he's there buzzing in. And we're watching it. We all stood there watching it live. And what was crazy, as soon as that second plane hit, everybody in unison in the room said terrorists. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, right. That's kind of
oh, fuck. This is a bad day. This is going to be a bad day.
Yeah.
And it started off, you know, obviously a little crazier than usual. But where it got obviously jacked up was as soon as everybody starts seeing this and base command start locking down, the Secretary of Defense puts every base on Delta. So at that point, we've been on Alpha, and I was telling you earlier, there's basically every fourth car or sixth car or 12th car, whatever, it didn't matter. You draw a number. Mm-hmm. That's who gets their ID checked. Became Delta, which means everybody's locked down. Non-essential civilian personnel have to go. Only military essential personnel on the base. Everybody else has got to go home. So every car coming through gets searched. If they were actually trying to come on the base, anybody that was not there, non-military, they had to go. There was people that were showing up to see their kid. Oh, I haven't seen my son or daughter and whatever. That's great. You're not seeing them today. Mm. So, I mean, we went through all that. There was more drugs and more guns confiscated.
Were you doing the searches?
No, I was okay. I was dispatching you the entire day.
Now, was it how long had you been dispatching? Had you basically been dispatching since you got there in June?
No, I'd probably only been a dispatcher about 60 days.
Okay, so 2 months on answering phones. Was the phone call that day
the
just
phone,
through the roof because people wanted answers and what's going on? And
dude, I had more colonels and generals calling in to find out what we were doing.
Is that
and I was
right?
Like, I don't know what to tell you, sir.
We're watching the TV. I mean, we had to turn Chips off for this shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it was definitely a trip. The phone call volume over a normal
was it a long day for you?
Which, oh, absolutely.
Like everybody to stay extra, like nobody's going home until.
So the shift was 7 to 7, but we got we went over there. We get on like you had to get up and go PT at like 4:30 in the morning, whatever. Be there at the.
Oh, they made you go PT.
You ready? Well, just a normal morning for us, dude. So we get up. And
oh,
go
I'm
so,
before this happened.
Yeah.
We go PT. I thought the next day maybe they made you do.
Oh no, we did it too that day. Actually, I don't remember about the next day. That's what I'm actually going back looking right now, trying to see on the calendar what day, because I'm pretty sure we were starting weekend that day.
Okay.
And if we started a weekend, then it was that Thursday or Friday that morning. There I am. Hold on. September 11th, 2001 was a Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah, morning.
So if we were working Tuesday morning, that would have been the end of our normal. We would have worked Monday, Tuesday, been off Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay. Whatever, but.
Yeah, and then worked the weekend. So we were starting our long week.
Okay, so this is like the beginning of.
Of
long
a
long week. Long day, beginning of a long week. We
right.
Started off relatively normal.
Started off hangout chill, and then it shit hit the fan. And in a normal 12-hour shift there, if you answered 300 or 400 phone calls, that wasn't crazy. That day alone, from the time that it all kicked off and got really crazy, because it got crazy about 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. From 10 o'clock in the morning until I got out of there, and your log actually showed how many calls you had gone through. I by myself had answered probably 2,100 phone calls.
Wow.
And they brought in somebody else to help answer phones. I never actually got a phone away from my ear. I had my headset with a mouthpiece. Then I had two different phones I'd be answering. And I would hang up a line, like you hit release, and the light would light back up.
Yeah, it's just constant.
There was never getting
So what
off.
Are people? What were you asking?
Everything and anything.
What's going on?
What are we going to do? What should I do about this? Dude, I had more suspicious packages called in on base.
Oh, my gosh. I bet that was
everybody that got something delivered the day before by somebody that remotely looked Arab and it was in a garbage bag or it was in a different packaging.
Oh, my goodness.
And those, you had to treat them like suspicious packages. So you got to close off and evacuate buildings around there, set perimeters, get the dogs.
Nobody knew anything. What happened? Yeah. Were all the planes grounded, right?
Once it happened, everything locked down everywhere.
Wow.
Long ass day.
What a crazy time.
Dude, we had Naval Criminal Investigative Services at the main gate because we were catching civilians who would normally come on. And they caught some dude with like, oh shit, what was it? Something stupid, like $7,000 or $8,000 worth of speed, about 20 grand worth of steroids.
Okay.
And then
he's trying to take it on base.
He was bringing the shit on and selling it because that's what he was normally doing.
Yeah.
And he probably had seven or eight guns with him.
Oopsie.
But there's nothing we could do. We were military police. You need NCIS, which is an actual federal agency.
Okay. So this wasn't a military person?
No.
Oh, it was just a civilian that was coming on base to sell stuff.
And he got busted with it. Oh, okay. And it was,
so you had to call in somebody from outside because you can't.
Well, we have NCIS on base there too, but they had to take over because that wasn't beyond our jurisdiction. There's nothing we could do to prosecute or actually technically arrest him. We could detain him, but that was it. It was a crazy day, and then obviously I get home and back to my room, and I've got like 62 bazillion phone calls from my family on the answer machine, because I still had an answer machine.
Of course.
I didn't have a cell phone.
This was not pre-cell phone, but this was not like today where everybody has a cell phone, right?
I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't want a cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I might have had a cell phone this time. 2001. Two years after you graduated, so we're what, 20 years old? Mm-hmm. How old were you? 20?
20, about to be 21.
Got it.
It was a bad day, brother. And that forever changed, obviously.
Oh, my goodness.
Air travel.
Well, everything about American society changed, right?
Sure.
Let's talk about all of it. We talked about the airplane, right? Earlier. There's a time in our lives where we could smoke cigarettes in an airplane, and you may or may not have been able to bring a gun. We couldn't figure that out. But
yeah, I don't think you could ever bring a gun, but you could.
Now,
I never was on a smoking flight, but I remember, obviously, when I was young, that they had, you know, the captain's turned on the no smoking sign, blah, blah, blah. And they still say that.
I think there's a no smoking sign on
there's still a no smoking sign, but
I guess because people don't know. But can you vape on a plane?
No, you can't do any of that on a plane.
Probably not. I would guess not. Well, you used to not have to get the
anal
take
cavity,
your shoes
search
off and go through the big scanner,
right,
and check your business.
All of it, yeah, and take your belts and this and that. And
ooh, what's in that baby bottle? Let me test here. Yeah. You know, so we've flown before recently with the girls. Have you done that?
Yeah,
the boys
we've
had,
flown with
yeah,
the boys.
Yeah. So you have like formula and stuff like that. That's like,
we have to take Gabriel's stuff, and you have
of course,
everything has to be checked.
Yeah, it's insane. Taking your shoes off. What's the shoe thing? Because one guy tried to start a bomb with his shoe. So now we got to take our shoes off. Listen, our freedoms were eroded.
Absolutely.
In the name of safety. What was the big legislation
they
passed?
The Patriot Act.
That's right. Which like might as well be called "We're going to spy on you" Act, right? There's
nothing
patriotic about it.
Right, the Patriot Act became we turned into the world of enemy of the state. Remember the movie Will Smith?
Yeah, well, we turned into like 1984 too. Well, maybe not quite that crazy, but yeah, the whole idea where
for the guise of freedom and protection, we need to be able to do this and monitor that and et cetera, et cetera.
And we all went along with it too.
Well, everybody was bleeding red, white, and blue, man.
We also went to war.
We've still been at war.
Yeah, we went to war, Afghanistan and Iraq. I think I read the other day 1.4 million Afghans died in that war. Maybe it's Iraqis. I may have it backwards. It may be Iraqis died. But anyways.
That,
I think it was like 4,000 Americans died and 1.4 million brown people.
Dude, that was a bad day, though. I mean, there was so many. The firefighters, the true heroes there in New York.
There's a lot of first responders.
Everybody up there busted.
If you can
take
anything away from that terrible, terrible tragedy is the humanity and Americanism and taking care of your neighbor, all that really, really jumped to the forefront. There are people with no regard for their own personal safety, dove in and just tried to help.
Sure.
And that was pretty damn amazing.
Sure.
Because that was pretty damn awful.
It was a bad day. Bad day in Bosnia, let alone the United States.
Yeah.
That forever changed everything for us, right? Because, you know, nobody born since then has not been born into a world that's not at war.
That's isn't that something?
The concept of a war on terrorism, a war on
an idea, which is also interesting.
Right. You can't kill an idea.
Yeah.
it is just done. You said it earlier, and I hate to agree with it in a minute, but I mean, they won in a huge way.
Well, if the idea was to disrupt American
way of life,
the civility of Americanism, they did that, right?
Absolutely.
They,
in spades,
they made us less free. We are less free now by that one act.
Which, by the way, the irony of that is the TSA has officially and successfully stopped zero terrorist acts, zero incidents prevented because
you know they do those tests on them.
Oh, and they fail like 95%
get through.
They fail all the time.
It makes me want to be a drug smuggler. I'm like, I could beat these guys. You kidding me? Look at her. She has no fucking clue. Did I ever tell you about the time I went to Mexico and we brought back Cuban cigars?
Yes, I feel like you've told me this.
I was a drug smuggler once.
That's not a drug. That's tobacco. It's different.
The guy told me that we were in customs, and Jessica and I were like, what do we do? I was like, just play dumb. I'm like, oh, what do you mean, Cuban? What does that mean?
Don't declare.
And he goes, what do you got? And I go, tobacco or something. He's like, let me see it. He's like, do you know what this is? I was like, no. Oh, man, some cigars. He's like, this is Cuban cigars. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
He goes, you ever heard of the Trading with the Enemy Act?
No.
He goes, that's where they put you on a list you don't want to be on. I go, okay. He handed them back to me. He goes, don't do it again.
Yeah, because he doesn't care.
Yeah. Thank you. so I could be a drug smuggler, basically, is what I'm just, that story.
Right, that alone, that one story, one time.
My supreme cunning and intellect would get me by.
Exactly, and zero times.
Yeah. Just play it cool, babe. Just tell him that. It's just a suitcase full of cocaine.
I don't know what
Why
that
you
is.
Gem me up, bruh?
I don't know what that
That's
is.
It's going to work every time.
Using white privilege?
No, I really don't know what that is.
Sure.
Anyway,
so back to Lejeune was bad. Delta was crazy. I was telling you about the highway that runs to the back. There used to be trucks that just have passes. Then we had all sorts of checkpoints. It was mayhem, dude. It was never the same from that day forward.
Yeah, in a bad way.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate. It really is. I mean, it's a terrible tragedy. And like I said, I think that if there's a positive takeaway, that humanity, there were some really cool things that happened. I think I was hearing a story the other day about how there were so many people donate blood that the blood banks couldn't handle it. You know what I mean? It was like an overflow of people just, what can I do to help, you know? And we see that. You know, it's really interesting. We see that. And we'll talk about this a little later, too. But this is, you know, we talked a little bit about the year anniversary of Harvey and kind of what that meant to us. But, you know, there's something really cool that came out of that. The humanity of, you know, the, what are they called? The Cajun Navy. The Cajun Navy. Yeah, right. Yeah. So the Cajun Navy comes out and just, you know, it's like, I'm just here to rescue folks. You know what I mean? Like, okay, there's some folks over in Russia. And, you know, they're going to the Carolinas right now, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to say, because that, dude, Jacksonville, North Carolina, Camp Lejeune.
Oh, yeah, there's a tie-in there,
everything,
too.
Everything, all of that. I mean, that's like the that's where it looks like that eye is going to come on land.
Do you have overall fond memories of your time there? This was after basic training, right?
I was stationed in Lejeune after boot camp.
Boot camp is what I'm trying to say. MP
school.
Training.
After MP school, I went to Camp Lejeune. So yeah. I spent my entire working career in Lejeune, except for the last year I was in Iwakuni.
Yeah, okay.
But so it was all in Lejeune.
So fond memories.
Oh, I loved it. Lejeune was a good time. And you could walk. The bowling alley was a couple blocks away. Go get up and get breakfast.
Are you a good bowler?
No. You could go drink and start watching football in the morning.
That's what it's about. The bowling alley has football and beer.
Yeah, especially at like 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning.
So you were 20. How old were you in Lejeune? 21 to 23. Some formidable years there. Yeah.
And then 24 in Japan. And that was it. No, speaking of that, this is a random starburst here, but so my wife tells me she wished a friend happy birthday the other day, and he's actually a Marine stationed in Iwakuni. That came up in just a quick back and forth, and I was like, dude, you got to ask him right now. I said, is Terry still open? He sent me a link. He sent her a link, and I was like, oh, Terry's closed up like 7 or 8 years ago.
What does that mean?
It was just a bar. It was our bar. It was one. It was the bar you could go to, get a $5 boogie. The first place I ever had habusaki, rice wine with snake venom.
Okay.
Oh, it was good stuff.
Snake venom.
Oh, it gets you fucked up. Way different than anything you've ever had.
I'll put some hair in your
on your everywhere. Ass.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it was but yeah.
Let me ask you a question. That sounds like a lot of fun, but this is a really simple question. Why do we have a military base in Japan?
Same reason we have one in Germany.
Okay, well, answer the question. Why do we have one in Japan specifically?
Because, Josh, actually, the technical official answer is Japan is not actually allowed to have their own military, and because Japan's an ally of ours, we think it's in their best interest if we have military positions there to help protect the sovereign island nation of Japan. In English,
Excuse me.
In English, sorry. What I'm really saying is that we're really close to Korea.
Right there. I know, but South Korea is even closer.
We also train with the South Koreans all the fucking time.
Okay, so what's the base in Germany for? The Nazis. That's right.
I think
Nazis are here in America. They're not in Germany anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was going to say, I could give you the exact same political bullshit answer I just gave you as to why we're there.
It's the same reason. It's really exact same. You could probably say, listen.
Cut and paste different.
Here's the real answer. There are certain people who along the way have decided that the United States.
The empire.
Needs to remake the world in its own image. And where we can't, we will basically bomb the shit out of you.
Put a military base.
In your neighbor's backyard.
And, yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That's the guise of world freedom and protection. That's Team America, world police, Josh.
Are those actual quotes?
How are we not supposed to be Team America, world police, if we don't have police stations everywhere?
Do you find it uncomfortable talking about 9/11 and Americans being killed by terrorists, and also saying maybe we shouldn't have bases everywhere? I'm not
uncomfortable talking about it at all.
I tie a direct link to that.
Sure. The problem is that you can't kill a belief, and there's a beautiful tie to what we're saying right now. You can't kill a belief, but if somebody grows up hearing the stories too about what happened September 11th and then on the war and what's happened in their country and all their cousins and
who specifically were we fighting
originally?
No, after 9/11. Who specifically?
We were supposed to be going after Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, right?
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda.
Two different. Al-Qaeda and Taliban are two different things.
Sure,
two
but
different
it, it literally went bin Laden and the Taliban, then Al-Qaeda. Because once we cleared this out, then it was
that's my
else.
Point. We really shouldn't have gone after bin Laden. That was the whole point. And he's in Afghanistan or Pakistan. They have a stand at the end of them, so it's pretty much the same thing.
Still doesn't answer the question either. Most of the hijackers were Saudi and Egyptian.
Whoopsie. But those are our friends, though, so that doesn't count.
Wait, carry the two? What the fuck is going on?
All right, so here's the deal, Nick. There's some people that bombed a country.
Mm-hmm.
They're from this country called Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So the country that got bombed decided they need to go some revenge, right? Yeah, I think so, too. Let's go to Afghanistan. That seems feasible. Let's go bomb the shit out of that place. While we're at it, let's also go back to Iraq.
Because that'll be fun. Because I don't like that motherfucker. I'm tired of his shit.
Because
he's housing.
I mean, listen, here's the deal. We've already got the military dusted off. We've got the troops ready to rock and roll. Who else can we bomb? We're at it. You know what I mean? It's like we're here. We might as well bomb some more mofos.
Yeah, and we're still doing it. Didn't we talk about this a couple episodes back?
We talk about this all the time, Nick. I think it's the most disgusting thing about America is that fact that we have these continual wars.
Where was it in Africa we were at? Where was it at? We were somewhere in random.
Libya, I think, also. And
there was a random place in Africa, though, that we were like, seriously, what the fuck are we doing there?
Yeah, I forget. Libya, no.
It's like they don't have oil there.
The Sudan. Yeah, so I think that's a myth, too. I don't think it's about oil. It may not have ever been about oil. I think it's really about, I don't know what it's about. Really, I mean, but it could be about people profiting off the fact that we have to build more bombs and airplanes. That could be something to do with it.
War is big business.
Which is the most disgusting thing, I think, right? Maybe you could wrap your head around this concept of, listen, we've got, America's got it figured out. We have the greatest culture in the history of humanity, and damn it, you need it too. You know what I mean? Like, so even if that was it, I guess that's a little more altruistic, right? Well, I mean, it's just saying you're too stupid to know what you need, and I'm going to give it to you. And if you don't like that, I will bomb you. that's kind of what democracy for everybody. We're going to spread democracy around the globe. That's kind of the concept behind that. And even if that's altruistic, it's still pretty fucking disgusting to me.
Well, the heart and soul of it, the root isn't good. It's
I'm just saying.
I'm trying to give
the benefit of the doubt. I'm saying even if the benefit of the doubt is people who think that. Listen, we have the best culture, and you need it. Even if that's it, that's still pretty fucking gross, right? Like 1.4 million motherfuckers have died now because they needed it. right? They needed what we have. Or, I don't know.
You can insert. No, I'm making faces over here because you could replace. You could just remove a couple words and you can make this about a religion. You can talk about that the same way.
What do you mean?
It's very Christian of us to go over there and try to
spread
the gospel. And if you don't, listen to me,
do Christians beat you? Do Christians beat you up after you don't
Catholic believe school? Catholics, oh, okay, for sure. And now they're raping kids left
what
and
do
right.
Mean now they're raping.
Well,
kids.
They've been they've raping been kids. Kids. Now it's in the news everywhere.
Well, listen. If I was a Catholic, I would have a big problem with that. I'd be knowing what the fuck.
How could you identify with that church if that was your quote unquote religion?
I think that's I don't know, man. They're believers. They're believers that believe in Catholicism and that's what they've always, so they can't break from it. They just have to like go, that's really disgusting and my church isn't like that, you know,
it is. It's exactly like that. That's the fucking representatives of you. But yeah. Anyways, I digress.
You did digress. What was I talking about? Because I was given
the spread of our
culture. I was giving you a bit of a rant about about how you need it.
Yeah,
Muslims, you need this.
Yeah, let's see. We want to make sure that they get our better culture and our better religion. See, it's very, very American, very Christian, very arrogant.
I don't know. I mean, it does have a bit of a what's the Christian concept of spreading the gospel? What is that called? Is there a name for that?
Witnessing.
Okay, fair enough. I wouldn't know. You grew up in the church, so you would know. Yeah, you know,
trust me. Yeah.
So, I mean, do the French or the British or the Germans, maybe the Russians, I mean, do any of them...
Does any other culture tout itself as the best in trying to make everybody assimilate?
But no. I'm saying is, but they do often... Like, okay, so if you would organize all those different countries in as the West, right? So largely Judeo-Christian in religiosity.
Religiosity.
Yeah, I mean, like how they organize their religions is largely in that vein. Also, similar values, right? I mean, similar values, Jewish jurisprudence, like the concept of a jury of your peers.
Right, rule of law. Sure, yeah, yeah.
There's some commonality there, right? Largely, like, or loosely organized as the West, right? And everything else would be not the West, I guess.
Right, everything else is...
The Middle East or the East.
Right, the Middle East or the East is what we refer to it.
And so, if the culture is a Western culture, then yeah, you could say, but why isn't the French... If we're all organized in that concept, right? We speak different languages.
Why aren't the English and the French and all these other people a bunch of...
They do organize along with us in these military infractions. The British typically, right? I mean, they're always involved in this. You see the Australians and you see,
we've got your back, dude. Yeah, what are you doing? Like, we're back here, man. We're hanging out.
They're not in as many numbers, so on and so forth. But maybe they don't get the backlash, or maybe they do get the backlash. I mean, you see some things happening in some of these countries, and they're also closer, right? I mean, but you see some things happening in England because there's... this, you know, the press will tell you about acid attacks and things like that. There was a bombing at a concert, Ariana Grande, a terrorist attack there. I don't know, but I don't feel that those nations necessarily have the brunt force of empire that the United States does.
Not at all.
You know what I mean?
Well, no, they don't.
It just feels like
again,
a little bit.
We don't allow anybody else to have a military base. They're allowed to have an embassy.
That's a very good point. Now, who else has it? Like,
no one.
What would you do?
No one else has a military base.
What would you think? What would you think? Who is our biggest ally in the world? Is it Israel? Is it Britain?
Probably somewhere between.
England? Okay. Could you, in your right mind, imagine a joint English-Israel base
somewhere
in the United States?
Right, just sitting here.
Which was pretty much
not,
sovereign.
Not, right, by the way, not just one of them, though. Like, it's not like we just have one base in a country.
No. Time out. I just want you to imagine one.
Just
I mean,
one.
Just stop
just
at one.
One.
Can you imagine one? Can you imagine?
Yes. We stick them in right by Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and they'll leave.
No, I'm just, my point is,
right.
My point is, no, it would never happen.
Not at all.
Hold on, citizens. Israel wants to put a base in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Huh?
They'd be like, what?
Israel. What do you mean by base? Like military with their planes and their... Nah, we're not going to do that.
No. Pass.
Hard like
pass.
It's pretty much sovereign Israel. No, we're not going to do that, right? We wouldn't do that for anybody. And those are our biggest allies. So why do we have bases everywhere? Everywhere.
Because
how many foreign bases are there?
Oh, goodness.
114? 120? 150?
I don't know the number off the top of my head.
You should know. You're my military expert.
I don't know.
It's the only reason you're on the show, Nick.
First of all, that's
for the military expertise.
Right. It's nowhere near the truth. Second of all,
I think it's like 100 or something.
I have no clue there's the number. I mean, there's a lot. There are lots of military bases.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break.
Foreign country. Yeah. So I want to just switch gears for a second. We had mentioned earlier, obviously, this giant hurricane that's coming to North Carolina, South Carolina. And I would say, you know, thoughts and prayers, but those are useless. What I will say is, honestly, I my heart does go out to them already before it hits, because that's a big, bad mamma jamma. Florence is a Cat 4, when we had one of those last year, and you know how it is. So, you know, those that left, that are able to leave, good for them. I'm sure that the Marines and sailors on Lejeune and all the bases there are not going to be able to leave. So hunker down and hold tight. And
they'll probably be working.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're going to be working.
After the storm, they'll be out there, like, rescuing people.
Doing all kinds of shit. And to mention in the storm, dude, if you look globally right now, there's like 7 or 8 tropical depressions and or hurricanes worldwide. Poor Hawaii got hit. They look like they're catching a part of another one. There's another hurricane out in the Atlantic. It's a crazy storm season.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad we're not on the East Coast right now. But we've got a tropical depression in the Gulf. So we're going to get
coming here, though, right?
Yeah, we're going to catch some rain.
Just rain.
We can deal with rain. What we can't deal with is another Cat 4, so.
It's just the continual rain. The flooding's really what jammed us up last time.
5 days. That's one of the things I think back, and actually I was thinking about it earlier today, sitting there to dot us, flat out, was, dude, I've never in my life seen it rain for 5 days
straight,
nonstop.
Nonstop, like not even not like sprinkle.
No,
it was just
a shower. Yeah. Turn on your shower and let it run for 5 days
on a whole city.
That's how much this place is
built
of
concrete.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck just happened?
All right, this is you're bringing me down, Nick.
Sorry. Let's talk about something good. Talk about fun. What you got?
You tell me.
Sports are always fun. Astros won today.
That's good.
They've quietly won 9 of 10.
Yep. They lost that one game in Boston.
Dickheads.
Unfortunately. What happened?
By the way, that was Sergio's fault.
Rondon gave it up in the 8th. Or no. The 9th was tight. Ninth,
the 9th.
Yeah.
9th walk-off.
Yeah, that's right.
But I blame Sergio, because that was the first game of the series that the Astros lost, and Sergio was there. Mm. Also, the Texans lost Sunday in Boston, and guess who else was there? Sergio.
I saw that.
He's been now
okay, so did you see the contingent of Texans that went to Boston and did the double dip?
Yeah, there was a lot.
There was a ton. Like a bunch of my buddies. I saw a lot of Instagram people.
The
football
game was expensive. The baseball game was cheap as shit.
Really, was it? To get into the game?
Sergio said his ticket there. Did you see his live at all?
No.
He was on right field where Marwin's home run went, just on just like it looped around the right field foul pole. Sergio said that was about, it was actually one section over from him.
Okay.
Those seats, right field, lower deck there.
Give it to me.
46.
That's not too bad.
$46.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Was it 90 home games or whatever?
Something like that. But yeah, again, that's 81 home games. But the point is, that's a great seat for $50. Uh-huh. I mean, that's a win.
Well, good.
The football game was not so much of a deal.
Yeah. That's awesome, though. Who'd he go with?
He went with a guy named Charles, his wife, and Charles'
father-in-law. Why did all those people choose to go to Boston? Is it because they could do the double dip? Is that the whole point?
Sergio had said something about it. He invited me, and I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen, but thank you. I would love to, but it's just not going to logistically work out.
Yeah, if I could talk Jessica and let me go by myself, maybe I could.
Sure.
Work, but that's the whole deal. So that'd be kind of a bummer for her.
Yeah, you having a great time. Yeah, did you go to both games? Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, right?
Because he was also gone Saturday night, obviously all day Sunday, all day Monday. He didn't come home till Tuesday night.
Bless his heart. How many games did he go to?
Monday night. He came home Monday night. He was gone Saturday night, Sunday, and Monday evening they got back.
Must be nice.
I was like, yeah. You come home, and then your wife now gets to take a 4-day weekend to Vegas or something. I was like, yeah, no.
Is that the even trade?
She I don't know, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways.
Sports is still fun. Texans are, coming back. Aggie Warham, what do we got going on there?
Oh, I don't know. I just wanted to play in that.
Well, who doesn't?
Did you see the game this weekend?
It was a great game.
Did you watch the game?
Unfortunate they lost.
What did you think going to that game? First of all, let's back up one more step. I think when we talked about A&M, I was really excited about Jimbo Fisher, and you were like, eh,
okay. I'm still, listen, on a personal level, I'm not a fan of Jimbo.
What's wrong with Jimbo?
He's not a disciplinarian. He's terrible at that.
Okay.
I mean, look, Jameis Winston is suspended in the NFL for being a fucking dipshit because he was allowed to be a dipshit his whole career at Florida State. He should have been cut. Should have been kicked off that team at some point at FSU because he's been allowed to be a dumbass.
Maybe. Anyway, Jimbo's not Fitzmagic, though?
He's not a disciplinarian.
Okay, but, you don't like that about him.
But I cannot argue with a resume.
Oh, man. How about that first game?
The first game was, I mean, you won, but you were supposed to beat them.
No, sorry. How about
last
week?
You're talking about Clemson.
How about last week, more importantly?
Great game.
Yeah, they won the first game.
Second half was much better. The first half quarterback looked like he was lost.
He showed up in the second half. Yeah. Big time.
They played their asses off. Listen,
it's
one of those things. We've talked about this a million times. Listen, nobody likes to lose. Somebody's got to fucking lose. If you go out fighting, you actually go out fighting, it's okay. You lost. You gave it your all.
Of course you want to give it your all, but.
But you did to literally go out there and fucking try to do your best. That's it. It was okay.
Well, but nobody. What they did was they went toe-to-toe with Clemson. It was at A&M, so they had some home cooking, but. I mean, ultimately, it was the number two team in the country.
Yeah.
You know, a national champion favorite. And you went toe-to-toe with them.
They've been the last two national title games.
It's early in the season, so I'm excited. If I'm going to be excited, I'm excited that the transition has responded quickly. Right?
Sure.
There was also, I'm not a huge college football fan. I don't live and die by it. I think you're a bigger fan than me. I don't think that's a secret to anybody. But
no,
for me,
football.
For me, you know, if I'm going to follow anybody, it's Texas A&M. I'm very close to that school by way of lots of things. And I understand the tradition there. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Maybe more so than anybody that didn't actually go to school there. That being said, I think that what Jimbo Fisher did and what the fans responded to was exactly what Texas A&M needed, right?
Sure.
It was.
They're definitely trending in the right direction.
Yeah, that crowd is always going to be loud and crazy, and the yells are always, you know, it's amazing. It's an amazing spectacle to get to showcase that on college game day,
right? And in the big new shiny field.
Yeah,
I mean, it's obviously it's a couple years old, but still big new shiny.
It was a really big deal. I think that all that really, really speaks to kind of where Texas A&M is, the program is, you know, the whole university is. And, you know, I told you earlier about the article in Forbes magazine that basically said Texas A&M is the number one sports revenue team in the country. Right, and you didn't seem surprised by that, and I thought it was a little more surprising, but I think that's pretty interesting.
The number one is being number one overall. That's surprising, but what didn't surprise me is you had listed several other teams prior, or you said something. There were several other teams that were mentioned, bigger schools, and you're like, oh, and then you said Texas, and I was like, why would A&M not be a part of that? And you're talking about, obviously, Texas and their donors. Been doing it for, I don't know, 100 bazillion years or something.
Yeah.
A&M, listen, A&M, it doesn't surprise me at all when you look at that stadium. So what I remember when I was 20 years old versus this last time we went last year.
When was it? Okay, yeah, so you went last year.
We went last year the Auburn game.
3 years ago, I think. And we went back in, what, the early 2000s, right? 2001, 2000, 2000?
Locale Field with the expansion seats 102,733.
Is that the biggest stadium now in Texas?
It's the biggest one in Texas.
Yeah.
Not the biggest one
sure.
nationally. You still have the big house and you have the horseshoe.
Yeah.
Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah.
Which I'll pull their numbers right now. But, I mean, Kyle Field, there's a lot of people who get to. Big house is 107,601, Michigan. And I'm checking on the horseshoe right now. So, did you catch any of the Astros game today, Josh?
Let's see. The Astros game today, I caught Bregman. Just being a badass. He has now, 30 home runs, 50, what is it? Okay, it's 100 RBIs, 100 runs scored, and 50 doubles, I think is what it is.
50 doubles.
30 home runs.
30 home runs. The 30, 50, 100 on its own, not his own runs, but the 30 home runs, 50 RBIs,
like
50 doubles.
He's like the 19th player to do that.
19th one ever to do
in
it.
In the history of
baseball.
Yeah, history of baseball. He's like 23 years old, right?
And 22, 23, I think. And, the last three to do it were Big Poppy, Albert Pujols, and the Puma, Lance Berkman.
And
Bregman. Yeah, and now Bregman. But there are four who have done it.
He also scored 100 runs today.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's pretty cool, too. He is absolutely a monster.
So it goes Big House, Michigan, then Beaver Stadium, actually. It's 106-572. Then Ohio State, and then Kyle Field. So Kyle Field is the fourth largest college venue.
Let me ask you a question. For Division So you're I a Texas A&M fan and a Houston Texans fan, yes?
Yep.
Accurate statements?
Sure.
After, it's week one of NFL, it's week 1.2 of college football season. More excited about Texans or Aggies for this year?
Well, A&M's game three is Louisiana Monroe, which is this is a repeat of week one.
Not interested in that. You're
gonna run them over.
Yeah,
game should four is Alabama.
Week four, 1, 2, 3, 4. So next week.
Next week is Alabama.
Who are the Texans playing this weekend?
Texans have the Titans this weekend.
So do you need one more week to really give this answer? I'm saying okay after where we are right now. Who are you more excited about?
Who's my answer? Listen, I want to be really excited about the Texans. I do. Deshaun Watson looked flat, but the play calling was so bad and it was so predictable. I'm calling plays. Tony Romo's calling plays. If we can read them from the sideline, this armchair quarterback spot, obviously Belichick and his guys can do it, and so can the defense, which is why they're eating it.
Answer the question.
So that disappoints me. Okay. A&M this week, I'm not excited about Louisiana Monroe.
Okay, I get it. But for the season, for the rest of the season, who are you
probably the
about?
Texans. I mean, A&M, it looks, A&M's going to come out 2-2. That's the best I think you can come out of this. And then you've got to finish off better than 2-2 in your remaining four.
So you think they win against the Titans?
The Texans can beat the Titans.
Okay.
They can, absolutely.
Win this week? Where's the game?
Tennessee.
In Tennessee. Okay, so Texans win this week.
We come out
1-1. A&M obviously wins.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to week four. A&M plays
Alabama.
Where?
Bama.
There.
Yeah.
Okay. Texans play.
I don't know who the Texans play.
All right. So, again, back to the question. A&M goes toe-to-toe against Clemson, the number two team in the country. New coach, new spirit, right? Pedigree of coaching and Jimbo Fisher, national championship pedigree. Texans get all their stars back. They also go up against last year's AFC champion.
We go Titans. Home for the Giants, on the road for the Colts, home for the Cowgirls, home for the Bills, on the road for the Jaguars.
Hold on, back up. Where are we at now?
Titans.
Okay.
On the road for the Titans.
Okay.
Then we are home against the New York Football Giants.
Okay, so home against the Giants. You think they're going 2-2 there?
No. I was talking about the Aggies going 2-2. The Texans will be 1-1 after this week. And then they should go 2-1 there. They should beat the Colts. Technically, we'd be 3-1.
Oh. You think so?
Colts didn't look good at all.
Okay. Andrew Luck's not back. All right, so back to the question at hand. Texans also have Texans. kind of a okay showing against a really good team. Their place also, sure, right? In New England.
They played better second half.
New England had a whole year to plan for Watson. Watson's just coming back from an injury. Okay, there's no upside there.
I'll say yes. I think the Texans are probably the one I'm more excited
for. Which is interesting that you say that, because I would guess the otherwise. Because for the first time ever, since maybe Sumlin got hired, I thought Sumlin was a good hire. I thought he'd be a guy that brought them forward, but I never thought he'd be the guy that'd be like, okay, we're going to have 3 championships in 10 years, right?
Sure.
Jimbo Fisher does have that pedigree. You don't like him because he's not a disciplinarian. I get that, right? But there's so much more hope in that. That is a big swing for the fences for the people who run Texas A&M football program.
Sure, I get that. It just doesn't necessarily move the needle for me that more than the Texans.
It does for me. All right, so back to Bill O'Brien, who has been vanilla in his entire history. Now he's play calling, right? Listen, I love Watson. I love that J.J. Watt was back, but he had the one kind of half sack.
Yeah,
it was really just kind of mediocre. Merciless was non-existent.
Clowney was in on a couple plays.
All that being said, I think New England is fantastic. They always reload every year. Tom Brady's the best that's ever done it. Blah, blah, blah. You're in their place. They got a whole offseason to plan for you.
We'll see. I flip it with the other way, too. Listen, the Rams have one of the dirtiest lines in the NFL. They've got Ndamukong Suh and they got Aaron Donald.
You know what the Texans' problem
Neither
is?
Neither one of them, by the way, got their name called one time in their game. So,
you know what the problem is for the Texans?
Well, I think it's across the board. The only defensive lineman that went apeshit was Khalil Mack. Everybody else was.
The problem with the Texans is their offensive line is
terrible.
Was and will continue to be garbage.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Absolutely dog shit garbage. The best lineman they've had in a long time, they got rid of him, Dwayne Brown.
By the way, is he playing this year?
Maybe justifiably so, by the way.
I don't think he's
and
playing.
I'm okay with that. He was holed down. He wants to be a celebrity.
And he's not anything
he's
special.
He's dating the radio personality, chick in Houston. Or
is he?
And, yeah,
is that his claim
thing.
To fame?
No. I think that there may be some aspirations of a life past football. But
sure.
Regardless of the situation, they have not addressed their offensive line early in the draft. Or not early enough. They haven't signed any significant free agent signings. Their offensive line is atrocious.
It's horrendous.
And it's really unfortunate that they've got lots of weapons now. They've got everything they need. You know, they've got the quarterback, maybe of the present and future. They've got weapons at receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is as good as it gets hands-wise,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And they've got weapons.
Lamar Miller actually was impressive. Yeah. He didn't hit 100 yards. Like, he had 97 yards of just solid running.
I think he also had a really good yards per average. And he got stumped a couple times, but he got loose a couple times,
he
too.
He actually showed speed that I haven't seen him
but
show
here's the thing. And
since Miami.
I'm so down on the NFL, and it's maybe partially because the Texans, I just have no hope for him. I just don't have any hope for him. I don't trust Bill O'Brien. I still don't trust this regime, right? I know they changed general managers. The guy picking is supposed to be better now. It's not Rick Smith, and I never liked him. And maybe this guy will get some things right, but you still haven't addressed the offensive line.
No, you still got to find something somewhere.
And you still have Bill O'Brien getting out-game-planned by Bill Belichick. I mean, really, it was so bad sometimes.
Well, the play calling was just so obvious.
Yeah, and yeah. If it's not obvious, then it's easy to figure out. You know what I mean? Which is the same thing.
Sneaky, sneaky. We were laughing about it. I was like, look, so we've run the same play. Hold on. We're going to change the motion side. We're going to run the same play the opposite direction, though. They'll never see it coming this time.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm more excited about the Aggies because I felt like they played closer to what I consider to be a national champion favorite.
Sure.
And it's also more hope, right? Because you don't know Jimbo Fisher. You haven't been with him for 3 years. Everything's new. Everything's new with them. The new quarterback, everything else is new. I mean, there's some players that have been there last year, but what I'm saying is it's all new.
They've been landing all kinds of recruits, too, man.
Of course.
I get updates all the time.
Of course. They've got facilities. They've got ridiculous
tons
facilities.
Of money.
They've
tons of money.
Yeah, they've got facilities. They've got coaching.
Have you ever been in that weight room, by the way?
No. You know who went there? Paul Miller. You know who was on the sideline last week?
Paul Miller.
At the Clemson game?
Nice.
Yeah, I'll show you his Instagram here in a little bit. He's got I think he's, I don't know if it's videos from the locker room, but he's on the sideline.
So we need to borrow Paul Miller's seats for a game here before, you know, the home stands.
I'll do one better. Let's build an empire that equals Paul Miller so we get invited to places like that.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about down the road. I'm talking about in a couple
next
weeks.
Next week. Yeah. All right. So in the meantime, you know, I have this idea where I'm going to ask Paul Miller for, what I want to do is take all of us to a basketball game. Like, I want all 8 seats.
Yeah.
Paul, you and Doris can come with us because I want y'all to see.
Right.
Courtside. I want to do the rotating courtside thing with everybody. I think that'd be
sure,
really fun.
Sure, that was a lot of fun.
Dude, we met Dream. I know.
That is so awesome.
Craig Biggio.
I know, Biggio.
My boy. Yeah.
Craig Biggio was so fucking cool, but so was Dream, dude.
So to continue the show, we talked a little bit about the NFL, and we talked a little bit about Kaepernick, but I kind of wanted to ask you, I think we talked about this earlier, but I think it was only 2 players kneeled on the field.
Both on Miami, Kenny Stills and I don't remember the other guy's name, actually, because I only saw the picture.
Can I tell you something? That's probably more brave than everybody was kneeling last year because now there's like a fine attached to it. And if you're the only 2, that means everybody else got the message. You know what I mean? So that's a little more brave. So I guess hats off to them. I'd say just fucking stay in the locker room or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not getting fined, whatever, $10,000 a game.
Yeah, I don't know what the fine is.
But
good for them. Listen, I really appreciate what the true stance is there for and what Nike's coming with. And I wanted actually, I told you.
I don't, by the way.
Well, I told you in the beginning, I wanted to come back to the juxtaposition of the Nike ad in comparison to 9/11. Because a lot of the people that were, you know, quote unquote offended by the Nike ad with Kaepernick, they instantly took it to Pat Tillman, and this is what you know, if they Nike got it wrong, this is what sacrifice looks like. This is what losing everything looks like.
Do they have?
But
a
those
point?
Are the same people on September 11th now had nothing but images of September 11th still doing the parody of the Nike ad, and those are the ones. If you want to actually
using 9/11 for political,
yeah.
I think that's wrong. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
they're using the but if you want to actually get me to not counterattack it, because that has a special place in my heart. We've obviously talked about it. It was a very tragic day. But that when you show images of firefighters in New York and first responders, and you talk about actually sacrificing everything, and you use the just do it. Listen, I have nothing. I wouldn't even begin to or pretend to attack that the same way I came about it with the Tillman or anything else they went with, right? The people that died on September 11th as first responders and everybody going in and just helping other people, therein lies that rub. And I get what they're upset about, but my whole point is if you were actually that offended in the beginning, then you wouldn't have dove to Pat Tillman. You would have actually found something that should strike the chord in the heart of every American. And this is something that everybody alive that's old enough to remember it, this you remember where you were. This is the JFK assassination shot for our generation.
I was going to say it earlier, but I think you're accurate in that. So I kind of want to unpack a couple things that you're trying to talk about here. And first is Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem. Who has a right? Is there anybody who has a right to be offended by that?
You can be offended by whatever you want.
No, I'm just curious. In your opinion, are there anybody who would say, listen, that really upsets me because that flag means something to me and I feel like that gesture is disrespectful? Is there anybody who has validity in that? Is there a veteran? Is there somebody who...
If you feel that way, you feel that way.
I'm just curious, in your eyes. Because it's important that we start here.
Well,
the point
is that's not what he was kneeling
about.
Okay, it's not disrespecting the flag.
Time out. I understand what he's trying to say. But I'm curious if you think...
For me, as a veteran, if I find it offensive for somebody to kneel for the Pledge of Allegiance or during the National Anthem, not at all.
Okay, I'm not asking if you feel that way. What I'm saying is, can you understand if somebody says, you know what, that flag means something to me, and I find it a bit disrespectful that you would use that particular moment to make a political statement about something that doesn't have anything to do with that? Could you understand that somebody might be offended by that?
Sure, but that doesn't change
anything. I'm just asking if you can get to that point.
Sure, I can understand because that it offends people.
But listen,
I don't believe it.
Because I can, and I also think that opinion is goofy, because I think that somebody who thinks the flag means something is kind of goofy.
Well,
okay?
I don't believe that.
I can understand somebody who says that standing and putting my heart, a hand over my heart, and reciting those words,
like pledging an allegiance,
yes, because of XYZ. I can understand why somebody could be offended by that, whether it's rational or not. I could just understand that. Okay. I can also understand an individual saying there's an atrocity that happens in the world and not enough people understand or know about it. And I think more people should. And I'm going to use everything in my power to make sure more people know about that thing. Right. I think that might even be noble in somebody's eyes, depending on the thing. Now, depending on how that person decides to articulate that particular point, right, whatever platform they have, I also can understand if a private company who employs that person decides to make that particular person's voice be less heard in a particular situation. I'm being very, very vague right now.
Sure.
On purpose. And what I'm trying to kind of get at is, I don't think anybody with regards to Kaepernick or any spur or starburst off of him really understands what the fuck the original point was. And also, if there is any solution for it, what that might be. Right?
How can you say that the person who actually started it wouldn't understand what it was about?
No. I'm saying the people who talk about it, the people who bring it up. It's about Nike and whether Nike should sponsor a guy who kneels for the flag.
I don't give a fuck about Nike.
Listen to me. The point is, the story is not police brutality.
You're right. It's not.
It hasn't been for a long, 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 long time.
I know. And that's why I don't buy these people's crony patronism. Hold on.
But that's why I don't buy Kaepernick either. Because I don't think it's about that either. You're getting paid the whole time by Nike.
So you're saying he doesn't actually believe any of this?
I don't
stuff
know what he believes.
He's a sellout to it because he got a job?
I don't know what he believes. But I'm telling you right now, the conversation is not about what he thinks it should be about, if he really does think it should be about that, right?
Well, you're a big Twitter guy. Do you follow his Twitter? Do you look at any of his Twitter? Do you look at any of the
No. But I understand what's going on around it. Listen, if there was something he said on Twitter that was newsworthy, I would hear about it. I guarantee it. I don't have to follow him. I don't have to follow anybody to know when something newsworthy comes down Twitter, right? I guarantee it. I heard about the Nike thing, right? I don't follow anybody. Yeah. That being said, my point is, listen, I want to listen to the conversation about how we police our citizens. I really do. I have a little bit different approach than I think he does, but ultimately I think we can have a very similar solution, right? Which is police should be fucking beating people up, right? I want to take the race element out of it all the way. I just want police not to beat people up. I want police not to fucking...
I
want to
tell you an interesting story about exactly what we're talking about, though. After I told you, obviously, a couple weekends ago, college football started. I was at Mikey's house all day getting boozed up, and it was my sister Megan's birthday party at my folks' house. So I ended up over there, 3 sheets, talking to everybody, and I stood outside and talked to Megan for probably an hour or so, and we were having a great conversation. She actually hits me up this past weekend and says, I want to carry on this conversation, like you said. She said, like you said, we could do any time. So I just wanted to know when you're available this weekend.
Be on the podcast.
So I brought her to my house on Saturday and we talked. What's crazy is by the time she actually left, I didn't realize how long we'd been sitting outside talking.
Oh, can I come over and hang out with her and talk?
Sure. She came over and we talked and it was like 11:15 when she got there. And by the time I went inside when she had left, it was 4:30. I didn't realize she had been there for 5 hours. Just
in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cole brought us lunch. She went and got groceries, brought us lunch. We're sitting
just in the garage.
We're just sitting outside talking. Just sitting outside talking. I had golf on, so it's not something that's loud to talk over.
So what'd you talk about?
Everything.
Okay.
But I specifically tie into this is I asked her, because I was telling her about our podcast. We had done episode 1 of season 2 that the night prior. Mm-hmm. I told her about the new setup, the new things we're going for. She was like, I didn't know what a podcast was last week, but I did find out. So I know what you're saying. Okay. And I asked her a little bit. She's like, well, what do you talk about? And went into detail of the episode. And I told her about Kaepernick. And I said, but before I tell you what we said, you've heard about this, right? And she said, yeah. I said, tell me what you think. She said, well, I think what he's doing is very disrespectful to the troops and the flag. And anybody that is taking a knee in protest of that without realizing the irony of that, the freedom to do that is representative of the flag, et cetera, et cetera, I have a problem with it. And I was like, that's amazing. You have no idea what he was actually kneeling about, do you? And she was like, no. Where did you get that part of the information? Just kind of like the headlines, right?
Yeah.
And Megan's a smart girl. It's just not something that's actually pushed her button to interest her, right? So then we dove into Philando Castile and Freddie Gray and Alton Sterling and the guy in New York, Eric Holder. Mm-hmm. And I told her the information about these, and this was actually what was going on at the time and why he did it. And she was like, wow, I have a completely different opinion now. Mm-hmm. Amazing. If you actually just did a little bit of research, you know, and I'm not scolding her, but I just said, if you did a little bit of research on it, the real heart of the issue, you're absolutely right, Josh. Nobody is talking about it anymore, and that's the real problem.
Yes. The real enemy is the state. We should talk about that every single day.
They are. At the end of the last episode, I told you I was really excited because Dallas had actually prosecuted somebody for shooting an unarmed man. Did you hear, obviously, about this lady officer that shot a man in his own apartment?
Yeah. Why, can I tell you something? I don't care that she's a cop. I think she murdered a guy.
I think she murdered a guy, too. They arrested her and charged her with manslaughter.
Yeah. Listen, I think most cops are good people, right? Like I'm not in a crusade against cops.
I'm not on a crusade against cops. I just want them when they do wrong to be prosecuted.
Yeah, I think so.
You got to be prosecuted,
held accountable. It's really, really important. It's really important for all of us. It's really important for the rest of us that we trust you to police yourselves enough that when you fuck up, that you hold that motherfucker accountable.
Period.
Right.
Period.
You shouldn't. It's like, listen, if somebody at my restaurant doesn't hold the standards that I hold, then you can't work at my place anymore. Right?
It's really that simple.
Yeah, it really is. And so, yeah, I will 100% back everybody up on that. I don't think all cops are bad. I hate this.
I don't either.
I hate this concept that all cops are bad, right? That's like.
But that's the red and blue here.
With I know.
You can't disagree. We can't have discourse. We can't do any of that because.
And the truth is so much. It's in between, right?
Oh, absolutely.
My thing, and I'll break it down to you right now, is I think we should question what we ask police to do, right? What is it we are asking our police to do? We have a constitution that gives us safeguards. Furthermore, when we invoke these, the war on drugs has failed, right? When we ask our police,
the war on drugs is an excuse
to SWAT up and to get in jump out vans and to go and raid these people's houses. We're asking for trouble. We're asking for a society to backlash against it. Listen, we should not treat addicts like criminals. We should not be people who choose to do drugs like criminals. We shouldn't lock up nonviolent people, right? If we in the drug war in the United States, largely the violent crime goes away with regards to access to drugs, right?
Sure.
It becomes above board. The easiest time in America for underage people to drink was during Prohibition.
Prohibition.
You know why? Because they didn't care. Listen, right. I was gonna get arrested for selling it to the 25-year-old guy, so I'll sell it to the 14-year-old kid too, right? It's easier for kids to get drugs now because it's illegal. Make all that legal, above board.
I said, you know what you don't have people doing now is killing each other for booze.
Not anymore. Right?
You literally had turf wars and gang wars.
The most dangerous time
in
America was during Prohibition.
Because of the booze.
Because the black market's going to win. You can't legislate what people want out of them, right?
No.
So why would you want to?
Well, and that's why you had mentioned earlier, and I want to kind of bridge this.
Probably something really brilliant.
So I want to bridge this something. You had talked about the Libertarian candidate running for mayor in New York.
Larry Sharp.
You do realize that LaGuardia, the one whom the airport is named after,
okay,
during Prohibition, he was the one who came out at the time, did his own study, both on marijuana and on alcohol, and that the alcohol study, he literally pushed back and said, listen, the laws that you're trying to enforce are not indicative or reflective of what the voice of the people want.
Yeah.
The voice of the people says, we want our drinks. You shouldn't be making this illegal. When the people have spoken loud enough and clear enough that we don't fucking care about this law, we're going to do it anyways, you should actually get rid of the law. Because the people don't care about that law. They don't believe in that law. They don't support the law. It's not a law that represents.
Well, what's funny is the people are supposed to be in charge of the laws, right?
Right.
Right.
And that's what I love about LaGuardia, because he was that first push for it.
I think that you know, there's always a good point to have a little education here, which is I love when people say, we live in a democracy, right?
No, we don't.
And it's like, no, you don't get it. We don't live in a democracy.
Not at all.
We have democratically elected representatives who go and vote for us. We live in a republic.
Correct.
Right? Now, the original intent of this republic has been largely washed away. We can have a whole podcast on that. But democracy is nothing more than mob rule.
Absolutely.
All it takes is 51% of us to decide what we're going to do, and then we win, right? So democracy is very, very flawed. The republic is supposed to protect us, right? And the idea is, and I've said this for as long as I can remember, I like the idea of fighting with Texans for how we should police ourselves, how we should how we should write policy for Texans, because I identify culturally more with the people around here than I do with people in California or Florida or New Hampshire or Wyoming or whatever, right?
Man, it's such a trip to talk to people from even California.
But their culture is so different, right? So why should we allow, this whole concept of Hillary Clinton got more votes, well, that's why we have the Electoral College, so New York and California can't run the country.
Sure.
Because would you want those people running? Would you want Californians running Texas? No, I'd like Not Texas just like
yeah.
it is.
Because California has some fucking retarded laws.
Oh, no, listen, Texas does too, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's some real dumb stuff going on here too. But the things that are
important to me are reflective of most of the state laws.
Largely. Yeah. There's some things we can work
Sure,
on.
There's things we can fix, but...
The point is, I'd like to fight with Texans for how we should right policy for Texans. That'd be an ideal system. That's what the original Constitution was written to be, a federal system.
But I don't have any issue with that.
Yeah, you know.
I definitely don't want to live by California laws.
No way. Those people are fucking goofy. All right. So, listen. It's been a long night.
It's been a good one, though, man. This season is all about getting some guest hosts, and we're gonna figure out.
Is this gonna happen?
We're gonna find it. We're gonna find a good guest host. We tried it, and
no, we got some technical difficulties. That's okay.
We had
mic issues.
Right, we had mic issues. We absolutely had mic issues. That's
get
good.
Those mic issues fixed.
But, so,
all right. So, what are you into? Let's do that,
man. I'll tell you. So this week, still the same two things or a couple of things I said about last week. Still excited for The Walking Dead coming back. Fear was pretty good. Ballers is good.
When is Walking Dead coming back?
October 7th.
Okay. That's a long time to wait.
It's a month, dude. Oh. It's not that long.
I can't wait more than 5 seconds in the drive-through line.
That's your
All right, what else? So
problem.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, Talking Dead. Not Talking Dead. Walking Dead, Fear is good. Football, college and pro. I mean, it's a good deal. I don't really have a ton. Oh, you know what I actually really am waiting on, though? Exciting. End of the month.
What's that?
UFC 226.
Boom.
Conor McGregor. Habib Nurmagomedov. They're fighting in Vegas.
I'm going to root for the Habib guy, I think.
Yeah. Habib.
What am I into this week? I am... Arsenal comes back this week. They took a week off last week. It was international week, so Arsenal comes back this week. I don't know who they play, but they play Saturday morning. I think I'll catch it at work. I told you that I'm going to start this book, and I promise you I will, but I am excited about a new book that I found called, I think it's Coddling the American Mind. And
that's coddling, C-O-D-D-L-I-N-G, coddling.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, I've got this. I tell you, I call it my thesis. I got this bigger thesis about how we're raising our kids, and like, I'm really interested in what we're doing now. That's different than how we were raised, because I think we're raising our kids completely different than how we were raised, which is different than how our parents were raised. And something we're losing something along the way. So I'm really interested in this book. I've heard a couple podcasts by these guys, and it kind of buys into the whole. You know, it's kind of attacking the social justice warrior kids that we're creating.
Sure.
And it's all about letting your kids go outside and play and you know, have some conflict resolution skills.
Get dirty, get in fights.
Well, yeah, and you know, they talk about unsupervised play. You know what I mean? It can't be mom deciding all your shit. You know what I mean? They can't be figuring out all your problems. I think that's so important. So, anyways, that's what I'm into.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up there. So,
absolutely. So, Josh. What are we going to do on the next podcast?
Let's do the same thing we do every time, Nick.
What is that?
Try and take over the world.